So I'm calling this shiur one on Shemot and Va'era, because it's basically, it's not specifically on one parasha, but it's basically like the introduction to all of Sefer Shemot, in that we're going to really describe who Moshe Rabbeinu is, who he was and who he became, and what the nature of Am Yisrael is throughout Sefer Shemot. Let me explain. So in Parashat Shemot, we read last Shabbat, we were introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was born. Moshe Rabbeinu went on to be the leader of Am Yisrael, the one who was chosen to take out the Jews from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, from slavery, from the Galut, from the exile. He was the leader of Am Yisrael, and this is exactly what he sounds like. Okay? Let me give you a few tidbits of what Moshe Rabbeinu sounds like. You're going to be shocked. It's going to blow you away. Are you guys ready for this? Look at the pasuk. Vayomer misam chaliish sar v'shofet aleinu halehargeni ata omer kasher agta et ha-mitzvi. Vayira Moshe vayomar achen noda adavar. What does this pasuk mean? Basically, what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu saw a Jew fighting with an Egyptian. The Egyptian was going to kill the Jew. So Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Egyptian, and he said he killed the Egyptian with Hashem's name, with the holy name, and he covered him up in the sand. But there were two Jews that saw this happen. Datan v'Aviram. There were two Jews that saw this happen. And what happened was, they came to him and they said to him, "Listen, Moshe, don't think that we didn't see what you did. We saw exactly what you did. We saw exactly what you did. And we're going to tell on you. You're going to kill us now also. We have to watch ourselves. We're going to go tell on you." So Rashi says, Rashi right below, Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu said in that first Rashi, Vayira Moshe, Umidrasho da'aglo al shera'a b'Yisrael rishaim daltorin. Moshe Rabbeinu feared. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu fear? He got scared. Right when they said this to him, he got scared. Why did he get scared? Because they're going to go tell on him. That's one understanding. He also got scared because he saw, what, there are Jews like this? Rishaim? There are Jews like this in Egypt? Amar me'ata shema enam re'uin li'gael. Hey, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? Maybe they're not. They don't have the schiyot. They don't have the merits. They're not worthy of being redeemed from Mitzrayim. What? Moshe Rabbeinu saying this? Look at the next Rashi. He said, "Achen noda davar." So skip till the end. Aval ro'eh ani shehem ru'im l'kach. He says, "I see that they're suffering a lot of hard work and a lot of labor." He says, "You know what? Now I understand why. Now I understand why Hashem commanded that they should be in the galut, because they're rishaim, they're evil people in Am Yisrael, people that would go and tell on you, that would go and tell Paro on another Jew. They deserve it." He says, "What? Moshe Rabbeinu saying this? Yeah, that's what it says." Once again, we find this. The next pasuk that we see over there, Perek Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem reveals Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in the sneh. The sneh was the bush that was burning. The bush that was on fire was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. Okay, it wasn't actually, being destroyed. It was just on fire, which was a miracle on its own. And that's where Hashem revealed to Moshe. So what happened was that Hashem revealed Himself to Moshe, and He said to Moshe, "I want to choose you to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim." What's Moshe's response? Vayomer Moshe el Elokim, "Mi anochi asher elech ki elech el Paro?" Who am I? I'm a nobody. So you see, on one hand, the humility that Moshe Rabbeinu had. He said, "I'm a nobody. Who am I? I'm not the person. I'm not the right person for the job. Go find someone else." Fine. And then what does he say? V'chiotzi et b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. And I'm going to be able to take them out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? Look at the second Rashi. Chiotzi et b'nei Yisrael. He says, Mazachu Yisrael she'te'aseh lahem nes v'otzi et mi'mitzrayim. What did they do to deserve to be taken out of Mitzrayim? He said, even if I'm the right person for the job, they're not going to deserve to come out of Mitzrayim. They don't deserve it. They're evil people. They're Rishaim. So guys, question number one. This is Moshe Rabbeinu over here. He's the one that was chosen to take the Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. And he doesn't believe that the Jews are worthy of coming out of Mitzrayim. Guys, when you have a coach of a team, of a basketball, football team, a baseball team, rule number one, if you're a coach, is what? Believe in your team. If you don't believe in your team, they could be the most talented in the world, you're not going to get anywhere.
Did Moshe know he was Jewish?
Moshe know he was Jewish? Yeah.
He grew up in...
He did, but he knew. He knew. So, how do you explain such a thing? How does Moshe Rabbeinu say such things? That they don't deserve to come out? It doesn't bother you? Bother me a lot. That's question number one. The next pasuk, after that happens, okay, we're just going to illustrate the story a little bit, and then we're going to give a nice message that's going to answer all of the questions. The next pasuk, right afterwards, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not the right person, and these are not the people, they don't deserve to come out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says to Moshe, Vayomer ki eye imach v'ze lecha ha'ot. And this is the sign. Ki anochi shlachticha. He said, what did he say? This burning bush is the sign that that I'm choosing you, and it's the sign that Am Yisrael is going to come out of Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? Somehow, this is supposed to answer the question for Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had a question. He said, they don't deserve to come out! And somehow, Hashem is answering that question, and he's saying, to answer your question, you're worried that they don't deserve to come out. Don't worry. This burning bush that's on fire but it's not being consumed is your answer. What does that mean? How does that answer the question to Moshe? Hashem could have told them right away the answer, the reason. Don't worry. They're going to be taken out anyways because da 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 da. He has to hide it in some hidden message. In the form of a bush that's burning, that's on fire, but is not being consumed. What's going on over there? That's question number two. Later on in the parasha, there are five psukim that are really, really, really strange. What's happening? So after this whole story with Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu finally agrees, okay, maybe I'm the right person for the job. You're right. Whatever it was that Hashem had to convince Moshe that they're going to be taken out of Mitzrayim with the burning bush, whatever it was that Moshe Rabbeinu, he accepted it. Okay, good. So then Hashem tells Moshe, and this is what you're going to go and tell Paro. Vayo ve'amarta al Paro. Go and tell Paro, so said Hashem, Beni Bechori Israel. The Jews are my sons, they're my firstborn sons. What does that mean? What does that mean? Bincha. And then the next pasuk says, go and tell Paro, and if you don't want to send out, if you don't want to let them go, I will kill your firstborn sons. So ask me a question, guys. We see from here the first threat that Hashem told Moshe to make to Paro is what? I'm going to kill your firstborn, your Makat Bechorot. Ask me a question. When was Makat Bechorot? The last one. The first one, the first threat that Hashem tells Moshe to tell Paro is you take out the Bnei Israel or else, what? It should be or else, dam. Or else Tzvardea. Or else Makat Bechorot. That's the first. Why is it the first one?
Because Paro also said.
I understand. But it was the last one that took place. Makat Bechorot was the last one.
Because Paro wanted to kill all the boys that were.
Beseder. But why was it the last one that took place?
It was step by step. Getting to a level that Gazor was going to be very, very. Upset of him and
progressively worse and worse. First, like the animals die, you know, blood, frogs. Like that's not that bad. You know?
Not that bad.
I'm saying it's bad.
It's pretty bad.
I'm saying, but then you have
when you take a hamburger and you want to take a bite out of it and you hear ribbit.
Okay, yeah.
Ribbit.
It's bad. I'm saying, but there was worse plays in that.
Okay, so you're saying that was the worst one. Killing of the person was the worst one, that's why they said it.
Yeah,
that's the simplest one. Very simple.
Okay, that's a very honest, it's a very good answer. Fine. There's more depth to it. What's the depth? You'll see, we're going to tie it in very nicely. Okay, that's next. Now, the next pasuk is not has not absolutely nothing to do with what we just spoke about. What do we just say? Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, go and tell Paro, take out. Let these are my children, my firstborn children. What's the emphasis of firstborn? Why firstborn? Say children. Why firstborn children? That's another question. The next question is, the next pasuk it says, and if you don't let them out, I'm going to kill what? Your firstborns. Why kill your firstborns? That happened much later. Next pasuk, guys. Next pasuk. There's this very strange story that happened, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the way, and this Malach Elohim was there and wanted to kill Moshe. Okay? What happened was, as Rashi explains, it was in the form of an animal that basically stuck Moshe's entire body into his mouth up until what point? The place where his Brit Milah is. And the message was that you did not give your child a Brit Milah. So his wife, Tzipporah, got the message right away, and bam, right there on the spot, she went and she gave her son a Brit Milah, and then the angel, he left, he went away. That's what these three pesukim, we're not going to read inside, that's what these three pesukim say.
And Moshe has been
with Brit Milah. Moshe was born with a Brit Milah. He was one of the people that were born with it. He was born Mahul. Yeah. So it was his child. That was the hint. The hint was, you didn't give your child a Brit Milah. Fine. So what connection at all does this have to the above psukim, to firstborn sons, to killing firstborn sons, to Hashem calling Am Yisrael firstborn sons? It's a pasuk right afterwards. It seems random, right? You could read it in a random way, but what's the connection? Okay. And the understanding, the answer to all of these questions goes like this. Guys, hold on tight. It's a roller coaster ride. But at the end, it's going to be so enjoyable. You'll see. As one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of this Yeshiva says, Pilei Plaim. Pilei Plaim. So enjoyable. Listen. The Ramban says, and I'm going to say the rest outside. The Ramban says, it's over there on your sheet, that at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu approached the Sneh, the burning bush, the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not yet reach the level of nevuah, the level of prophecy that he was going to reach. He wasn't there yet. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't grow up fully. He was grown up fully. He was around 80 years old. But spiritually, he did not yet reach that level that he was going to reach. The level of prophecy. And the Rabbanik continues to explain that his vision, his sight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his feeling of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it wasn't so clear yet. Basically like us, okay? Do you see Hashem clearly? You don't see Hashem. Do I see? I don't see Hashem clearly. Nevi'im see Hashem more clearly than we do, because they have HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to them. They can hear Hashem speaking to them, right? Those are Nevi'im, prophets, right? So he wasn't at that level yet. He was at some level of prophecy, but not all the way. Not all the way that he was there. So he still had Hastarat Panim. Hastarat Panim when it means that Hashem hides himself from you. Hashem is a little hidden from him. Hashem was a little hidden from him. And there are certain things, what happens when Hashem is hidden from you? There are certain things that you don't understand about Hashem. Right? Chavod. There are certain things that you don't understand about Hashem. When you see Hashem clearly, that means you understand everything in the creation, everything that happens. So that means Moshe Rabbeinu still did not yet understand certain things in the world. What didn't he understand? This is what he didn't understand. Again, this is Moshe Rabbeinu on his own level. He looked at Am Yisrael in a very natural and logical way. How did he look at Am Yisrael? Naturally, logically. Mitzvot versus Averot. Do they deserve to be redeemed or not? The truth is that the Midrashim say that the Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, they were filled with Averot. In Mitzrayim, in Egypt, they reached the 49th level of Tumah, the Midrashim say. Right? 49th level. They were very, very dirty people, spiritually. Very dirty people. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw from multiple signs, hey, you know what? Logically speaking, what did they do to deserve to come out of Mitzrayim? What did they do already? Look how many Averot. They're filled with Averot, these people. In fact, the Midrash says that when the Bnei Yisrael went and they wanted to cross the Yam Suf, the Malachim said to Hashem, these people are of the Avodah Zarah, these people worship idols, pointing to the Mitzrim, to the Egyptians, and these people also worship idols, pointing to the Jews. So why are you drowning the Egyptians? You should also drown the Jews. Chas v'shalom. And Hashem said, don't ask any questions, this is what has to happen. But we see from that Midrash that what? They worshipped idols. They weren't great tzaddikim when they were in Mitzrayim.
But not all of them.
Most of them. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he was smart, he wasn't a dumb person. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, you know what? On paper, the math doesn't add up. They don't deserve to come out of Mitzrayim. So he said to Hashem, listen, Hashem, first of all, I'm not the right person for the job. And even if you want to tell me I am the right person, who says they're going to come out of Mitzrayim? Based on what? Based on who? Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake was that Am Yisrael, our relationship with Am Yisrael, is not a logical relationship. It's not a natural relationship. It's just like the relationship between a slave and his master. Okay, that's a relationship that you could understand on paper, logically. If the slave does the will of the master, then the master will love him. If the slave does not do the will of the master, then what's going to happen? Goodbye. You're not my slave anymore. I'm firing you. I'm killing you. Whatever a master does to a slave. I don't know. That you could understand. It makes sense. But the relationship between a father and a son, av to a ben, cannot be understood in a logical way. It's lemala min hateva. It's above nature. Why is it above nature? Because when a son disobeys the will of the father, does the father still love the son? Of course, he always will. He always will. Don't give me any of this baloney that your father told me, if you go and do this, I'm going to disown you. Not true. It's against the nature of a father to disown his son. Why? Because the relationship between a father and a son is lemala min hateva. It's above nature. And that's the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Between us and Hashem, Hashem is like our father, we are like the sons. Whether we do the will of Hashem, we don't do the will of Hashem, He's going to love us. Now, I'm not saying, don't go on and say, oh, Rabbi Cohen said we should go and do many, many averot, and Hashem's still going to love us. No, I didn't say that. The love that Hashem has for a Jew, no matter if he's filled with mitzvot or averot, it's existent. That love still exists. And that Moshe Rabbeinu did not yet understand. So Hashem revealed that to him, when? With the snare, with the burning bush. How did he reveal it to him in the burning bush? Because the same way that you have a bush that's on fire, but what's happening to the bush? It's staying the same. Why? Because I said so. Because it's not natural. It's not a natural thing. The same way you see this, it doesn't make any sense, right, Moshe? It doesn't make any sense. That's my relationship with Am Yisrael. It doesn't make any sense. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to explain it with math and numbers on paper. Mitzvot versus Averot. It's not going to make sense to you. Don't even try to understand it. It's lemala min hatev. It's above nature. So when I say Am Yisrael, I'm pointing you to take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It's going to happen. Whether they deserve it or they don't deserve it. Just like this burning bush. It doesn't make any sense that it's on fire and it's not being consumed. That's Am Yisrael. That's the existence of Am Yisrael. That's the existence of the Jewish nation. We've been here for so many generations. It doesn't make any sense that we're still here. Why? Because our existence, our nature, does not make any sense. It's lemala min hatev, it's above nature. That's why Hashem referred to Am Yisrael. He told Moshe after this he revealed himself to Moshe by the burning bush. He explained to him, go and tell Paro, Bini Bechori Yisrael. They are my sons. Why sons? We know why sons. Because the relationship between a father and a son is the relationship between us and Hashem. Doesn't make any sense. Bechori, my firstborn. Why firstborn? Why Hashem, why do you have to throw that in? Because out of all the korbanot, out of all the sacrifices, there is one sacrifice that you bring to the Beit HaMikdash and you slaughter. There is one that has sanctity, that is holy, that's kadosh, from the second that it's born. Which one is that? It's called the korban bechor. The korban bechor. That when you have an animal, and it gives birth to a firstborn animal, that animal you go and you bring as a sacrifice to the Beit HaMikdash. Korban Bechor, the firstborn. firstborn animal. Every other korban, what happens is that, let's say you made a sin and you wanna attain atonement, kapara, for your sin. What do you do? He said, "Wow, I just did so many big averot. I just did this. I just did that." You go to your backyard. You see many cows. You take one cow. You say, "This one is nice. Looks like a nice big fat one." You put your hand on it. You say, "This one is going to be my korban for my korban chatat." And you take it with you as a Ben Amikdash. So from the second it was born until that moment, did it have any holiness to it, any sanctity? The answer is no. Only from that moment you went and you appointed it as your Korban, that's when it became holy. That's how every Korban works, except for the Korban Bechor. Without any actions done to it, it's born holy. It's born holy. Without any additional things. That's Korban Bechor, that's Am Yisrael, that's Bini Bechori Yisrael. Hashem refers to us as his firstborn sons. Why firstborn sons? Because we don't need to do any actions to get that love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get that sanctity, that holiness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're born with it, it's inherent, it's inside of us, it's inside of our neshamot. So Hashem told Moshe, go and tell Paro, Bini Bechori Yisrael. My relationship with Am Yisrael doesn't make any sense. They're like my sons, like my firstborn sons. They were born with it. Whether or not they have mitzvot averot, I'm taking them out of Mitzrayim, whether you like it or not. That's why the next pasuk says what? That Hashem says, go and tell Paro, Makat Bechorot, I'm going to kill your firstborn sons. If you don't let them out, I'm killing your firstborn sons. Why? Okay, there was Dan, there was Fadea, but the whole theme of the punishment against Paro was what? Midah keneged Midah. You sinned with this concept of firstborn, that you denied the sanctity of Am Yisrael. I'm going to punish you with firstborn, and I'm going to kill all the firstborn sons also. That's the punishment of Makat Bechorot. That's why what happened was that the Malach came and it almost ate up Moshe up until the Brit Milah. What was this message over here? What does that have to do with this area, with these psukim? It's because Hashem was hinting to Moshe, you sinned with this concept of Brit Milah. What's the concept of Brit Milah? Brit Milah symbolizes that even at a time when a person is empty from mitzvot, empty, has no mitzvot to his name, even at that time, you should still be happy because you're a Jew and Hashem loves you. Where do we see that from? The Midrash says about David HaMelech, that one time David HaMelech was in the bathhouse and he was empty from mitzvot. He couldn't wear talit, couldn't wear tefillin, he can't learn Torah in the bathhouse, right? He was empty from mitzvot and he became very sad. He said, "I'm a nobody, I'm empty, I'm naked." Until he remembered, he was niskar, that he has a Brit Milah. And at that time, even in the bathhouse, he's been becoming a mitzvah. And that reminded him that even at a time when I'm empty, when I'm naked of mitzvot, I always have a mitzvah and I'm always loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the concept of Brit Milah. That irrelevant of how many mitzvot you have, how many averot you have, you're going to still be loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the hint was to Moshe, you sinned with the concept of Brit Milah. You denied the inherent Kedusha that Am Yisrael has. You didn't understand that. You looked at Am Yisrael in a natural and logical way. That's how you looked at their existence. You sinned, Midah Kedegar Midah. I'm going to come and that was the hint. The Malach came and ate him up until the Brit Milah. That was the man. That's why he went and he gave his son a Brit Milah right at that moment. So that answers all of the questions. I want to end off with a story. So Rabbi, the message is clear. That the existence of Am Yisrael doesn't make any sense. You could have journalists, researchers, historians that will go and try to give you a hypothesis and explanations as to why the Jewish nation survived throughout all of these years, why they're so smart, why they invent so many inventions. It's all a bunch of baloney, shtuyot b'mitz agvaniyot. We're here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be here. We're here because we are b'ni b'chori Yisrael. We have the father-son relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That doesn't make any sense. It's that love that will always be here, that will always be with us, that love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. So there's one story I just want to share with you, and then we're going to start Aviv, Bezat Hashem. That the chief rabbi of France, his name was Rabbi Sitruk. Rabbi Sitruk, you heard of him? Rabbi Sitruk was a chief rabbi, you heard of him? Yeah? He was a chief rabbi of France. And one time what happened was that he was called in to the deathbed of one of the head popes in all of France. One of the head popes in France. He was called to his deathbed, he was about to die. And he said to Rabbi Sitruk, "I am a Jew. I survived the Holocaust. My parents, before they were taken away, they took me and gave me to the neighbors, and I was raised in a Christian way, and that's why I ended up being who I am." He reached the highest possible position in France, and almost he was one of the candidates to be the highest pope in Rome, in the Vatican. He was one of the candidates. He was supposed to be that, a Jew. He said to Rabbi Satruk, he said, I want you to say Kaddish by my funeral. After I die, I want you to say Kaddish. Now this rabbi was posed with the question, this person is borderline Jew, not a Jew, I don't know. He worshipped idols, Avodah Zarah. Are you even allowed to say Kaddish for him? I don't know. He went to Chaim Avadia Yosef, and he asked him the question. Chaim Avadia Yosef, when he heard the question, tears started coming down his eyes right away. And he quoted the Gemara that says, that the Pasuk says, Banim Atem LaShem Elokechem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to us as Banim, as children. And the Gemara says, the opinion of Rabbi Meir Balanes says, Ben Kach U Ben Kach Kruin Banim, that whether you are doing the will of Hashem, whether you're not doing the will of Hashem, you will always be called, Jews will always be called children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, not only are you allowed to say Kaddish for him, you have to say Kaddish for him. It will be a big Kiddush Hashem. And they took the body, is what happened. They took the body out of the church, the big church, outside during his funeral, and Rabbi Satruk, along with 9 other men, said Kaddish for him right outside. So it shows that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for every single Jew, will never disappear, Chas V'Shalom. The love that he has for Am Yisrael as a whole will never disappear. The existence of Am Yisrael doesn't make any sense. It will never make sense. Don't try to understand it. It's unnatural. It's above nature. So b'zchut ze, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should be zocher that Kadosh Baruch Hu should redeem us. He redeemed us from Mitzrayim. He should also redeem us from this galut, the last final galut. Should be zocher to be at Gol Tzedek b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen.